Well, you have your Bible today. Ready to learn. We're going to close up this series on building a team. And I'm going to give you one more characteristic, and we're going to talk about the blessings or the benefits of this characteristics of building a team. And there are others. I understand that. You know, there's all kinds of things that, you know, we could look at. But I just want to, you know, give you this today. And I spent two Sundays on listening last week, and then this week I'm going to talk about the benefits of listening. But it's almost like a lost art, isn't it? We're all so busy, and we have our own thing. And to really concentrate and look at somebody and listen, that's something I think that is worth two sermons for. So this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked questions from time to time of his disciples. And then he would listen intently. He would listen intently. And this is one of those times that he's asking questions and listening. And let me just say this on the onset of this message. I think if you really want to get to know someone, you can ask just a few questions, just a handful of questions. Here's one that I think, you know, what do you love to do? What do you do for fun? What's life draining for you? What stresses you? What's a good day look like to you? You know, those kind of things are just real simple questions, but if you listen, you can learn a lot about people and what they love and what drains them, and you can get close to them. And so here we're going to talk about the benefits of listening, this characteristic we talked about last week, and we're going to talk about the benefits of it. And in Matthew 16 and 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What are you hearing? What's out there that you've heard and people are talking? And then he listens, and it said, they said to him, so they said, some say John the Baptist. Some Elijah, you know, it was prophesied that Elijah would return, and then Jesus kind of emphasizes that, you know, if John was that prophet that was talked about coming, and same spirit, the same heart. And then others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then when they're through talking, he gives them another question. Usually, when somebody's through talking, we want to relate, not have another question, right? Well, let me tell you what I've heard, and then we'll go on with that, or, you know, and we get that a lot. How many's ever had something good happen to you, and you say, well, guess what happened to me? And you tell them, and they say, oh, that's nothing. You should have heard what happened to me, instead of asking you about what happened to you and what you're excited about. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Yeah. Some of you are those people. Sometimes I'm that people. Instead of saying, you know, wow, that's wonderful, tell me about it. See, that's how we learn who people are. Well, tell me about that experience. Tell me about that. I had lunch with a gentleman this week. I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he's a friend of my little brother's, and I saw him. Had lunch together, and he was talking about his life. I said, well, tell me about where you're at. And he said, you know, he'd been through a divorce, and he was his little family, last time I saw them, few years ago, they were in church and excited about Christ, and so just with a simple question, and he said, we're divorced now, and I said, well, tell me about your life. What are you doing, and what's going on with yourself? And he says, I live in Roth, and I bought my mom and dad's house. I went to I think he called it the gambling hall, and won $32,000 and bought my mom and dad's house. I thought, well, how interesting. And his life was just totally different the last time I saw him. But it only took a few questions. How are you doing? And where you live? And What's going on in your life? And here's all this information. And one of my questions, I said, you still madly in love with Jesus? And he said, oh, yes. And that's about all he had to say about that. So you can learn a lot by just asking questions and then listening to where they are. And I said, well, I'll be praying for you, you know, as we parted. And he said, thank you very much. You know, I didn't beat him up or question anything else, but I thought, just a few simple questions, and it was from one place in a journey where he was just shining with his family in church to a place where the divorce, then he went on to tell me, he said, my wife has gone back to a man she used to be married to or dated, whatever, and said, and they're going out to the bars and taking the kids. And I thought, wow, what a transition from the last time we saw. But and sometimes there's good stuff. You know, you need to ask, and I think it's okay when they tell you about where they're at. So he got an extra prayer today, and probably get an extra prayer tomorrow. But just ask about people. So he asks, and he listens, and he doesn't interrupt, and he doesn't come back with a comment. And he said to them, but who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And then he listens. He listens. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good answer, Pete. And then Jesus does make a comment. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now we read that and we think, you know, that's a comment that Jesus makes, but let me ask you something. If Jesus had just asked you that question and you had said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of God, and he looks at you and he says to you, hey, that didn't come from this natural world. That came from a God that's talking to you and you're listening. Have me be like, woohoo! I mean, you know, we read over stuff like this and we think, oh, well, that was, you know, it's... But that would be something, wouldn't it, if Jesus looked at you and said, listen, this is from the throne. You're in tune with God. This is, and so this is all started with questions. It didn't start with preaching or teaching. It started with questions. And that's why listening is so, it connects us. That's why we'll talk about the blessings today, because it connects us. And then he says, and I also say to you, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And in fact, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And just one more reminder, it all started from a question. Where are you? Where are you spiritually? Do you know what's going on? And it just asks a couple of simple questions. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And listened. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus Christ. Now, if you're Pete, you're thinking, you know, you're going home and your wife's there and he said, don't tell anyone. And you're thinking, guess what Jesus said to me? And she said, what? He said, I can't tell you. Someday maybe, but I wish I could tell you, you know. He really bragged on me. That's all I can say. You know. Now, I don't know if that happened or not. Probably if he's like Jan and I, we just go home and spill everything. Is that the way you and your spouse is? You know. And I know some of you have had counseling just wondering right now. You're okay, okay? You're all right. Now, I want to talk about, in this, the first blessing and benefit, I think, is, you know, listening shows respect. Jesus didn't get on to them for saying, you know, where are you hearing all this? And you know, I can't believe you're even listening. He didn't get on to them. He just showed them respect. He just asked the question, and then he listened. And listening shows respect, doesn't it? It just, you know, it shows respect. If it's done properly. Can I tell you something? It's hard. It's really hard sometimes to listen intently here. Come here, Adam. Billy, come here. Are you listening? Wake Adam up and send him up here. No, he's listening. And I just want to say this because as I was preparing this, I thought about this, and I thought, you know, sometimes on Sunday morning, usually I go over and we'll meet new guests and all, but when I'm free, I come back and we talk, and sometimes you guys want to lay something on me that's happened good or prayer or something like that, and we're shaking hands, and I'm looking at you, and you'll know, and I'm going, see you, you know, bye, you know, or somebody's waving at me, and people are standing there, and it's hard to look, you know. It's hard to, and so here's what I'd like for you to do. It's not that I don't want to listen to you, but I want to touch all of you if I can that's waving and, you know, acknowledge you. And so it's not a good time to when people are filing out. If you got something for me or Adam or Eric or one of the pastors around here or leaders, just kind of save it until the crowd's gone and then share with us. Because it's hard to, and we want to, but, you know, when we're doing this and we're high and you're telling us and we're like, you know, I know that seems rude, but I just wanted you to kind of see our side from that. Is that okay? And if it's not, grow up, okay? Because that's a fact. That's what we're having to deal with. You know, we're trying to touch people that's trying to touch us, and we're not. It's not that we're not. And then there's the kind of people that are like this. Well, how you doing, Adam?
Am I good or bad?
I don't care. Whatever you want to be. Yeah. Well, tell me about what you've been doing.
Had a busy week at work. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Blah 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 and blah blah. And,
yeah. Yeah. What? Have you ever had people like that? You know, they're there, but they're not there, are they? They're just somewhere else, and it don't take long to just cut the, you know, like they're not listening. You know, they're just somewhere else, or then you're like, "Hi, Adam, how are you doing?" You know,
I'm doing pretty bad.
Pretty bad, yeah. Well, I'm doing great. Bless your heart, you know. And let me tell you what, you know. And then they, you know, there's no listening, is there? And I'm telling you, you know, sometimes. I'm doing bad, and it's like, we don't want to know, right? So I understand all that. I understand all that. But, you know, to show respect if you can, and that's why I brought out the fact of filing out of here, because I only see most of you once or twice a week, and so I don't, you know, get to touch you, and everybody wants to touch, you know, each other as we're here. To grow a little bit in that area, because you are important to us. We're important to you, hopefully. But to show respect, you know, to show respect with our time and that we do have here. And if you're talking to someone, to look them in the eye and not be looking around. And that's just a big difference, isn't it? That's respectful listening. And when you show people respect and listening to them, how many knows it does something to you? It's a benefit to you. You know, people will listen to you and they'll take it to heart. When Miss Nicely is very high in the gift of mercy, and when you tell her something that's family, you know, somebody needs prayer or what's going on in your life, she's connected. I mean, she does. She connects. Well, everybody but Olin, and she knows he's just blowing hot air, you know. Me and Mark and all of us that just like to, you know, rib. I understand you disconnect, right? When we're playing and all that stuff. But you tell her something that's serious and she's connected. She's, you know, even her emotions is, you know, when you tell, you can hear that. And it makes you want to call her. It makes you want to call her when you got something that needs to be said. Last night, thank you very much. Last night, my little brother called and he said, I had been checking his little boys about Caden's age. I think maybe he's 14, a little older than Caden, and he had he made it to the finals in the bull riding in his age group, and there's Duncan, and he come in fourth or fifth, and then we talked about it. He called me and we celebrated a little bit, and then last night he called and he said, "Man, he won 85 and he won tonight." And I said, "That's awesome, you know." And I'm a connector. I'm listening to him and his what's going on. He's out of town. He don't need to call, but he called, and then he said, "But we need prayer." The bull stepped on his leg and shattered his leg, and now they have to have surgery this morning and pins, and you could just tell in his voice, you know, and so we just I just loved on him a minute, you know, just, well, you know, what do you need? And there's, you know, well, we're just gonna be out here and just prayer. And And then my sis, I talked to her on the way. She's been sick, and I said, "How are you doing this morning?" And listened to her, and he had called her and connected with her, because she's a good listener. She's a good listener, and he called, and she petted him and all that kind of stuff, you know. But people, all of us want somebody to listen to, but just showing respect. That's a blessing, isn't it? When people show you respect, and that's what Jesus did for his guys here. Now, another thing I noticed it did here, it increases knowledge, doesn't it? It increases knowledge. Now, when he asked them, who am I, who do you think I am? And then he tells Pete, watch what he does. We're still there in Matthew chapter 16. After he told them, he says, you know, not to tell anyone. Look at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the scribes and be killed and raised the third day. From that time, once he asked, who do you think I am? And they answered correctly, now he's going deeper, isn't he? Because of the knowledge he has. Because he asked the question, who do you think I am? How many ever ask a similar question of someone, you know, a friend or something, and you're trying to figure out how deep this relationship is and how much trust you can have, and you want to talk to them, but you're fishing around a little bit, and you're saying, you know, you lay a little something out there, and you get their input. You listen very intently. You know what I mean? You don't tell them everything, but you lay, and then some of you are so private, you never lay anything out there. You just hold it all in. But for the rest of us, you know, we want somebody to listen, and so we lay a little something out there. In life coaching, when I was going through and get my master's in life coaching, they teach you how to build authentic relationships. And one of the ways that they do that is you'll lay out a 5-minute story about who you are. And that's a lot of stuff. And so they'll hone you on trying to get your little 5-minute life capsule here. And there's a fine line between revealing things about yourself and all, because what you're when you're telling your story, here's what's happening to the person listening to you that you're about to coach. This is the theory anyway. They're going to respond to you as they listen, and as much as I reveal, that's about what they will reveal back. I think that's pretty true, don't you, in life? There's friends that you'll just open yourself up to because you know that they're saved. And then there's friends you'll ask anything. And then there's friends that you won't hardly ask anything. And all that is saying this is how deep or shallow your relationship is. And so as you listen to people, it creates knowledge. It gives you more knowledge of where they are, what they think, what kind of how they perceive you. Just like Jesus was asking his men, who do you say that I am? And then he goes deeper all of a sudden. Now, what he did was open himself up as he listened to them, and now he says, since you know this, and this has been given to you by God, I'm going to go deeper with you, and there's still a risk. How many knows there's risk? You can listen to people, and you hear they know that who you are, and you think they really know who you are, but how many knows just because you've heard them, and they've heard you, it doesn't mean you're going to agree? My wife knows me very well. And if we don't agree, it's something she don't agree, she just don't agree. And I think usually I'm right, but I found out that's not the case all the time. It took a good wife that really knows me and listens to me to tell me, you know. Then he reveals the plan that they have. He's going to a deeper level because he's asked and he's listened. But then Peter took him aside and rebuked him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. I mean, no, Jesus is still listening. He just gave him a key, and now he's going to hit him over the head with it because he needs it. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And then he gives the spiel, because this is said in open forum. Listen, this is a good policy for you that work and have, you know, you lead organizations or you're a part of a team, and we're talking about listening and talking. How many knows communication is everything in a team, isn't it? And communication means I'm talking and you're listening, you're talking and I'm listening. Not just I'm talking, or you're talking. And so this was done in an open forum. Everybody heard it. Now it says he took him aside. It took him aside, it says, and I understand that. But I just one of the things I believe is Peter's very blunt and to the point, and he's how many has ever seen a quiet, blunt, and to the point person? Have you ever seen one? You know, they're like, come here, I want to tell you something. I'm gonna kill you. You know, or whatever. I'm gonna punch you out or something. You know, you very seldom ever will you see somebody that's blunt and as upfront as he is. And so Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now, here's two trains of thought. One is, Peter's loud and he hears what, he's listening to him and what he's hearing. First he hears he's on target of who he is and what God's done in his life and what he's going to do for the church. And now he's hearing, this is not from God, this is from a different spirit, and I've got to cut it off right now, or it's going to go. Remember when a couple weeks ago I was preaching, and Pete says, I'm going fishing after Jesus was dead. I'm going fishing. Remember what happened? All the guys said, well, if you're going, we're going with you. Why? Because Peter is a leader. Well, this is the same Pete right here that's trying to say the plan of God is not going to happen as long as we're here. And and even if he doesn't hear what Peter's saying, they're going to ask Pete when they get alone, what did you say to him? And so he says, up front. And there's some things that when you're hearing in a crowd, or you know it's going to be an influencer, it needs to be addressed openly. Here's a prime example. Years ago, we had a young man that came up to me, and he says, and he is a faithful member, a good Christian guy, but he came up here and he said, pointed back and said, this lady sitting back here has a hurt under her rib and God wants to heal her. Openly, he asked me, and I said, he said, this is from God. And he had been a faithful member and been here a while, and so I'd have probably just said, thank you very much, go sit down. But I thought, you know, this guy hears from God. He's faithful. He's here. He's a contributor. And so I said, you know, and so I asked her name. I knew her name, and I asked her, I said, do you have a hurting under your rib? And she said, no. And so I said, okay, thank you very much. And so people knew he came up and what had been asked. And so the next Sunday I said, here's the deal. Last Sunday, because the family is upset. I mean, what if it was you and somebody said, you've got a pain and you don't have a pain, and the son was upset because this is his mother, and what is he pronouncing, pain on my mom? What's going on? It's caused confusion. So from the pulpit, I said, you know, I listened, but I responded, and from the pulpit, I said, this man missed God. He said this was God. He missed it. And she had no pain, no recollection. She's still around. She's still healthy. She's never had any pain in that area to this day. And I said, and so we need to be careful that we say God said and God didn't say, because we're going to all be held accountable. So we just need to make sure that's in check here. And he didn't like it very much. But I thought, you know, this is out of order. He said, God didn't say. And so all I'm saying is, when you're listening, you're going to go deeper, but when you go deeper, people are going to feel more. Remember the song we sang this morning, you know, when I feel you and I want to lay on you, your breath, and then, you know, I thought John the disciple probably wrote that. I mean, that's the way he pictured himself, you know. He called himself the one that Jesus loved. That's how he refers to himself. And that's what he heard when he was listening to God, that, oh, I'm the one he loves. I'm his pet. You know, I'm his favorite. I mean, feel like that. Yeah. Me and Jan Murray is the only ones, I guess. We are his pets, aren't we? We're so special. But I'm just saying, this is what he heard from him, from God, and we all heard it. But here's the thing. It shows respect, and listening builds, goes, listen increases knowledge, And number three, it builds relationships. But what happens when you listen, it's going to go deeper. And we have friends that we can go very deep with in conversation and confide in. And hopefully you do too. Because everybody needs that. Somebody, you can pick up the phone or go see them, and you can just ask them anything you want to ask them. You can tell them anything you want to tell them, and they're listening. Or hopefully you're that friend to somebody where they don't. It doesn't matter what's going on. They'll call you, and they'll confide in you, and you just because they know you're listening, and it builds relationships. But I'm just giving you a warning that sometimes when you go deeper and you're listening and you're making these connections, that's the blessing, you know, the respect, the knowing people more and building relationship, that's the blessing. But the other side of that is be careful because it will cost you. Remember what John and his brother asked? They went deeper, didn't they, with Jesus, and they knew they was in the inner circle. So one day they come up to him and they ask him, "Can you reserve the right chair and the left chair for us?" That's what me and Jan's been asking lately, right, Jan? No, we haven't. Because what did he say? What did he say to his disciples? "It's not my chair to give." See? But that's what happens when you... That's one of the cautions I give you with going deeper with people. They'll ask you for things. How many has ever went deep with somebody, your relationship's growing deep, and then all of a sudden they get in financial trouble and they ask you for money? Or they begin to ask you for favors they wouldn't ask anybody else. "Can you do this for me? Can you take me? Can you watch my kids? Can you do whatever?" You know, I told them in our Bible class the other day, I said, "You don't have to babysit very often if you just let people know. Sure, you can drop your kids off, but I'll just let you know up front if your kid needs a whipping, I will give them one while you're gone." And I'll only give them one if they really need it, so don't worry about it, but I will give them a whipping if they need it. We're not abusive. That's not, you know, it's not, we don't give abusive whippings, but we do a spanking, whatever you want to call it. Usually it's a swat. But that kind of cuts down on your babysitting time. Just a thought. Here's, and we don't have to turn there, but in John 15, 13 through 15, Jesus talks about, you know, "You're not just anybody now, you're my friends. You're my friends." See, that's going deeper. That's what listening gets you. It builds relationship. He says, "You're not just someone that I hang out. You're my friend. You're my friend." And I thought, that's what listening does. He's listening to them, and they've listened to him. And he says, "This is not just a relationship. We're friends." You know, and he calls them friends. And I thought, how cool is that when Jesus will call you a friend. Now, fourth thing it does, it generates ideas. Look in John chapter 6. I just want to kind of leave our... and go to John chapter 6. And he's going to ask a question, and it just... This is more prevalent in meetings when you're sitting around, you're having meetings. Philip came in our prayer meeting this morning, for instance, and he says, "You know, we got some estimates on the roof getting more." And he said, "Looks like this is going to be more than we thought." And he said, "I think we need to begin to prioritize. We've got a budget set aside to do improvements around here, and different departments have, you know, give us their wish list." And so he said, "I think we need to start prioritizing." That was generated out of listening to different departments and listening to each other. And then it's still creating new and better. We're still honing that, see. And but it all happened out of a meeting a few weeks ago that we had to say, "Here's the budget we have for improvements." And it's still creating new ideas and how it'd be best to go about it. This is a smaller scale, I guess, but I think it really proves the point in John chapter 6 and verse 4. "Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" always kind of wondered, didn't you? If Jesus asked you a question like that, would you sweat it out? Or, you know, would you, you know, if you didn't have the answer, he don't have the answer. And Jesus knows he doesn't have the. Have you ever asked a question and you're listening and you know they don't have the answer? Have you ever had it? And it's more nerve-wracking when somebody asks you the question and you know you don't know the answer, isn't it? Used to, I'm a lot better now because I thought, I'm not all-knowing. I figured that out. It's really fun when you figure out you're not all-knowing, isn't it? What a relief. Helen asked me a question this morning about a particular scripture, and I'm not sure exactly what she asked because she was kind of hurrying this morning, but I said, just write it down, make it clear as you can, and I'll see. She's just wanting to see, take my view off of some scripture she's going to teach on. But isn't it some, and so people come up to me now and say, where is it in the Bible? I'll say, I don't know. That's so free. Isn't it in there somewhere it says this? I said, and if I know, I'll tell them, yeah, it's in, but most of the time I don't know, because that's a big scripture, and I'm old, and my memory is full of a lot of stuff. I wish we could reboot, don't you? Like the computers, they just come in and reboot us once a year, and now we can remember everything, and we got it all filed away, and you can just pull up your little file. But I don't know about you. If it doesn't click with me, if it's not important to me, they'll ask me, you know, if it's not something on my mind, and I'm doing Wednesdays and Sundays and series and things, and so most of that, you know, it's just, I don't know. I have a computer at home. I suggest this. If you don't know where something's at, go to Verse Search, and they'll send you a Bible, and you can put one key word in, and you can push a button, and it'll bring every prayer that's put in the Bible, and man, it's just great. It's just great. If I'm sitting at my computer or something, and somebody calls, sometimes I seem real smart, because they'll say, isn't it in the Bible? And I go, put one word in. I say, yes, it is. It's in such and such verse. And they'll say, wow. And I just gave my secret away, you know, any chance of that I ever had of looking intelligent. But, you know, you just don't know. He asked him, and he knows he don't know. He said, but this he said to test him. He's just going to test him. Again, you know, he's seeking knowledge. He's building relationship to see what his response is. And he says, where should we buy bread that these may eat? But he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, Jesus knew what he was going to do. He already knew. But I want you to watch. Watch this. Philip answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and that every one of them should have a little. In other words, we got, you know, this much money, but this is not going to nearly feed everybody. And that was his answer. That's all he. And this was a test, and he didn't pass the faith test, did he? But watch what happens. Watch what happens. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Now, you know, when I've looked at that before, I thought, you know, well, they're trying. What it's doing is it's generating creativity, isn't it? And I love what Jesus did. Instead of saying, you guys just don't have a clue, do you? You know? He doesn't do that. He asks a question, and one of them says, well, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have enough money. And he said it's a test. And then the other generating off of the question asked to Philip says, this young man has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he began to give thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and his disciples to those sitting down, and likewise to the fish, as much as they wanted. And so they were all filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that they remain so that nothing is lost. And here's what I want to give you. It all started with a question. The first answer is, I don't know. The second one says, but here's some resources here we could add to it. And it generated creativity. And here's what's really key. Don't miss this. It was in a safe environment. How many knows you will give your opinion if you're talking and trying to build a team if it's a safe environment where they don't call you stupid if you come up with a stupid solution? I like it when they say there is no stupid answers or no dumb answers or however they put it. Don't you? I like that. In other words, we're open here. We may not be able to do it or reach it, but let's have creative juices going. And that happens when you listen to people and what they're trying to tell you, and you create a safe environment. You don't criticize. There's not one criticism in here from Jesus. And he says, and then here's what I love. He took the fish and the loaves that they identified and used that to multiply. How many knows he could have done it a number of ways? He could have sent them off to fish. He did Pete that way one time when he had to pay his taxes, didn't he? He sent him off to fish, caught a fish, pulled a gold coin out of his mouth. You know, I got behind on my taxes one time. I said, I need a fish. Didn't happen. But wouldn't that have been sweet? But he said, you have not because what? So I asked him, he said, no. But I thought it was so cool that he took the fish and the loaves that they came up with and touched that. And how many knows if Jesus touches it, it's enough. And he touched that, and it created new ideas, and people were thinking, and he didn't criticize. That's very key if you want to build a good team. Don't criticize. Ask a question. What would you do? And how? And boy, you watch the process. And that's one of the things that listening does. It generates creativity if it's done in a safe atmosphere. The final thing that it did was it builds loyalty. And again, I won't turn there, but in John chapter 21, remember, after everything's said and done, Peter has come and he's denied Christ. He swore, you know, and cursed that he didn't know Jesus, didn't even know who he was. He had never followed him, and denying all that. But he comes back, and when he feeds his disciples on the shore, remember they caught all the fish. He says, let your net down. They had fished all night. And they, when they came back to the shore, remember what he asked Pete? He asked him, and then he listened. Pete, do you love me? Pete says, well, yes, I love you. Now, just remember, he just denied him, and he's gone through all that, and he's had a terrible time. He went out and he wept bitterly, and he was really sorry for it, but he did it. You ever been sorry for something, and then you wonder what Jesus thinks of you? Listen, I'm telling you, he's loyal. He is loyal to you, and we need to be loyal to him. And when we mess up, we just need to get up and say, that's not me. I don't operate like that. I'm going to be loyal to him. And he got up, and he says, And he asked him again. He says, Pete, do you love me a second time? He says, yes, Lord. You know I love you. And he says, well, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. And then he asked him again, see? He asked him again, Pete, do you love me? Ask him, first time, do you love me more than these? And probably pointed to the fish. And it said the third time he asked him, he said he's grieved in his heart. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to keep asking. If you're not sure, just keep asking. But here's what I want you to get. Listen to what they're telling you. Listen to what they're telling you. He said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. He said, that's what I was wanting to hear. He says, well, go feed my sheep. And who was the keynote speaker on the day of Pentecost when the first gospel message preached was who? Was Peter, wasn't it? He's loyal to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was loyal to him. That's what asking good questions and listening does. When we listen to people, and you all have people like that, they're loyal to you, and you know they'll listen to you, and you call them. I mean, I lost one of my best loyal friends that I would always call because he is in ministry, he is a pastor, I was a pastor, he's my cousin. We did ministry growing up, did music together and all these sort of things, I miss that so much, because I'd call him and we'd talk from as a kindred spirit and pastors and relatives, and we just had that, and I miss that so much when he died several years ago now. But he was one of my listeners. But it builds loyalty. And so I'd like to just leave you with this. Won't you and I become loyal listeners? I mean, just faithful listeners, because it builds loyalty. It does. People know that it's stopping here, but we've got an ear. We're not critical. We're not going to bash them for that. Now, we'll be honest. If it's a satanic spirit, if it's a wrong spirit that they're talking to us about, I mean, knows. I want them to be honest, don't you? If I'm out of order, I want somebody to tell me, you know, you're out of order. Here's what I believe. But let's go deeper with our listening. Those are some great benefits that come from powerful listening. Father, thank you for listening to us and listening to our prayers. You said, my sheep hear my voice and they know it. So thank you. Tune our ears up to listen to you. And tune our ears. Help us to show people respect as we look and listen to them. And help us to enjoy these great benefits that come from listening, getting to know one another better and building relationships, creating a positive and an energetic atmosphere, and building loyalty. Help us, God, to be that kind of listener. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.